Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with, well, the late Patty Fink will be joining us in a few minutes. Our guest today is Dave Guy Gaynor. He is with the Service Members Legal Defense Network. And I said that right the first time. And
yes, you did.
It's right at 7 o'clock right now. How do you like that? I have never done that right, just first time.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the reason Dave is with us again is because you were here when President Obama signed the final repeal.
Yes, I was very honored to be in that audience.
And you were actually in that audience when it was signed. Well, yesterday, and the reason Dave's back is yesterday the repeal went into effect. And there were earthquakes, there were tornadoes, hurricanes.
It was terrible.
And one locust.
Yeah.
Tell us about the locust.
Well, I was working on the locks on the back door of our house and being very careful about different rapturous events occurring, and a locust flew in.
And there you have it. There you have it.
And we still have it if you want to see it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
You saved your locust.
Yes, it's on a leash.
Actually, yesterday, Don't Ask, Don't Tell did go into effect. Anything happen? And I mean that, I don't really mean the earthquakes and the hurricanes. I mean, was there any kind of reaction? Other than celebrations. We had one here in Dallas, started at the Resource Center. It moved to a couple of the bars. Those kinds of things happened elsewhere. Down in Austin, they had a real big celebration because it's near Fort Hood. But that was just a celebration. People go out and celebrate lots of things. I'm talking about, did anything actually happen anywhere? Any negative impact?
Well, let me list them all. Ready?
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's kind of like April 16th, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
It is kind of like that. Tell us where we go from here. What did actually the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell do?
Well,
what changed?
In my opinion, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the first step, and it was a major step. I think it's the first win that our community has had, first big win, since Lawrence v. Taylor. And we should look at it in that light. It's one battle. It's not the total war. I mentioned last night, I think you were there, that should I go back on active duty, which I promised David that I won't, and Barack called me last night and asked me to please not. But if I were on active duty, and you know David.
David is your partner.
Yes, my husband of 10 years. Very wonderful man. He's asleep now, so he can't hear me bragging about him. If I were to go back on active duty now, David would not have 40 different benefits that are afforded to the spouses of straight people. For example, you know, I don't want to go shopping all the time. And certainly David likes to go shopping sometimes. He couldn't get into the PX or the commissary. We couldn't live on base. We couldn't get a subsistence allowance to live off base. David couldn't even get the stellar medical care that the military offers as to dependents. Those kinds of things aren't there. So while we've won, while we can serve proudly and we can be ourselves in the military, the recognition of our spouse, even those married in a state where same-sex marriage is legal, those dependents, as they call them, can't get equal benefits. So that's step number one, is to get that for them.
Oh, okay, so the benefits, and you're saying there are like 40 different benefits. Some of them are small, like the getting into the PX.
Legal aid, the ability to go to classes on base, using the library on base. Even getting on the base, you have no ID card.
And normally a wife or husband of an opposite sex married couple would have those.
Correct.
Would have an ID card that gets you into those things.
Correct.
You know, and some of them are small, like using the library is a small thing, but it's a nice little benefit. But not getting health benefits is a huge thing, because if you have to buy your own insurance, that's at least $500 a month.
Correct.
Is the current going rate for a an individual health care policy. And I'm saying $500 a month, that's the starting rate, basically, for for an adult, and it goes up from there. And that's a huge expense for somebody who's, it's not a limited income, but you're certainly not wealthy when you're in the armed services. One of the reasons people can afford to be in the armed services is because health care is taken care of.
That's, well, yeah, as it should be.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying that that's a big part of what you get when you're in the military. Your health benefits are taken care of. You're again, as it should be, you want healthy people serving.
That's true.
And you want their families healthy. And why do you want their families healthy?
And the old adage of behind every good chief, there's a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to take care of that spouse.
You want somebody to know, my spouse who's at home is okay, because you want somebody, and this goes for any job, you know that people are going to work the best when the people around them are taken care of, are healthy,
sure,
and they're not at work worrying, oh my goodness, you know, how is she? Do I have to run home and get medication? Do I have to, you know, we can't afford to go to the doctor. What do I need to do? You don't want to worry about those things. You want to know somebody's taken care of.
Absolutely. All the way down to, you know, when a troop goes to war, there's a lot of processing that goes on, a lot of care and tending to the spouse and dependents. All the way down to they write my will for me in case I don't come back. And they write my dependents' wills at the same time. They ensure that...
That's something standard that they do,
yeah,
for any anybody. As you're going into the service, you do write a will, don't you?
Sure. And it's checked on deployment.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down to how are my dependents going to be cared for while I'm gone?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have children? What happens to the children if my spouse is not there?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the spouse is not recognized still. And we need to attack that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where do we go from here on those types of things? Obviously, the big fight and the one that gets in the news is the one for the right to serve. You know, and it's interesting, some of the stories I heard and have been hearing over the last couple of months. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he wasn't asked, and he didn't tell, and yes, he was thrown out. Here's what happened to him. He was asked out on a date. And when he said no, I mean, people have a right to not go out on a date just because you're asked. When he said no, the person turned him in. And according to his attorney, he was unable to turn in return the other person, because that was considered by the Army to be just retribution, and so it wouldn't be believed. I don't know why it would have been believed in the first place about the first person, but it was. So what we're talking about here is the right to not have to worry about, you know, just something simple like whether or not you're going to be fired just on an accusation.
Well, I don't think you used the word simple easily. It's not a simple thing. Can
mm-hmm.
you imagine bearing that weight day after day after day?
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk about David. I can't acknowledge his existence. I'm in a workplace. I'm at American Airlines. And I can't talk about what I did this weekend, mm-hmm. what our plans are for next weekend. David drove to Arkansas to get a puppy
mm-hmm.
And brought it back. I can't tell you those things about my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a heavy burden that they carried. It's a burden that gay and lesbian and bisexual service members have carried for decades,
mm-hmm.
If not 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an extra burden that they did. So that went away. That pressure was lifted from them.
And that pressure is huge. I mean, that pressure is huge.
It is.
You know, to be to hide
ghost,
who you are.
There's a ghost here. It's Patty.
It is the ghost of Patty, who called ahead of time, said she'd be 3 minutes late. I told you 5 minutes late. Okay, 8. I win. because I'm closer. That's how The Price is Right works, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Just
and not only that, but Friday Night Lights won some Emmys.
It did, and we're going to get to that. Why don't we wait, okay. because I have a big I Told You So that needs to go to Laurent.
Okay.
We'll wait till after the break for me to gloat. We're talking to Dave Guy Gaynor. He's a board member of the Service Members Legal Defense Network. Your organization's going to stay around, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, you started off as a legal defense fund to defend service people who were being kicked out of the military under Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
It's an organization that's had a primarily singular focus, and that's to legally tend to all service members. It's not always been just gay and and lesbian and bisexual. In sitting on the governance committee, we discussed the future, and it ranged from let's fold up tent, our mission is done, to wait a minute, we just lifted the ban, there's still going to be discrimination. Mm-hmm. There's no easy path for a service member to follow when they're discriminated against, so we'll be certainly in tune to that. And also, lifting the ban didn't do anything for our transgendered brothers and sisters.
And that's huge.
That's huge
because there are a lot of transgender folks serving in the military who are still basically under a don't ask, don't tell, you know,
that's
dictate.
That's true. And it was their issue is with the military is outside of don't ask, don't tell. They weren't specifically named as a class in the law called don't ask, don't tell. Their issues are still held by the DOD as being medical and psychological issues, by definition. So we need to start working on that, and we will.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal itself. The actual change that took place was a very simple, you can serve now, right?
Correct.
Okay. And it took about 6 months after the repeal was, after the law was repealed by Congress, till the final certification. It was more than 6 months because it was December to July. And
December 20th, by the way.
Okay. And so we're coming up on a year that it took to actually implement this. What did they actually implement? What was it, you know, there was apparently some training. I'm not sure what they were training people to do or not to do. What did the training involve? Did you speak to any active duty military who were involved in this training?
Well, of course. We had people attend some of those training sessions. I've got to give the DOD credit, and I think we talked a little bit about this last time. They're a huge organization. They're the nation's largest employer. And basically they conducted equality training of the order that you would see the Resource Center do with TABC.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get my punch in there?
Yes, you did.
They had millions of people to train. And during that training, it was also conditioning. If negative feedback was coming back, the trainers dealt with that. In a very direct fashion, that like, okay, you can feel that way, but this is happening in our military. So I have to give them a little bit of credit that there was a PowerPoint slideshow that they had to show to millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a lot beyond that? I don't have a copy of it, but last night at the Resource Center, Raphael had a copy of the Marine Corps announcement on the wall, and it was line after line after line of regulation and delete this, add this, change this. So there are tons of regulations to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to wrestle with things like I was speaking with before. Can Chief Guy Gaynor move on base with his husband David?
But wasn't that pretty much decided at the beginning that, nope, sorry, DOMA?
The working group decided a lot of issues, but that was a decision. Mm-hmm. Now we had to do implementation, so I'll give them that. They had to change the regs. They had to wrestle with Dave and David have adopted a child. Now the adopted child, by regulation, is authorized to have medical care live on base, all those things come with the adopted child. David becomes then a primary care provider and can live with me in on-base quarters because of the adopted child. Okay. So there is a Gordian knot to be untied.
So there is a way for you to actually have him on base with you.
Yes, yeah.
And that would be by adopting the child.
But it still comes across as something sort of nanny-ish.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We'll slide in and be able to live on base because you're a caregiver for a child.
Correct.
You know, it's still not.
And after a 30-year career, my child's nanny will stand in my ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not saying that's not odd. I'm just saying there are.
It's a good thing David's asleep right now.
He can hear it on iTunes, right?
So nanny David could stay on base with you.
But you know, I think one of the most important things about this, from the biggest picture of GLBT civil rights, is this is the first time that the federal government. We're coming back to zero, basically, instead of something positive, you know, something new affirming our rights. But this is the first time we have basically an Employment Non-Discrimination Act in one sector of the federal government.
You're absolutely right.
That Congress passed.
There have been some executive orders,
right,
like within the Labor Department, no discrimination within the Education Department, you know, those kinds of things. But
this is passed by Congress. Yeah. The president signed it. It is the
exactly.
law of the land.
You know,
and this is pretty exciting, I think.
In the 40s, the military wrestled with integration and said, okay, we're going to let women serve, and we're going to let people of color serve, but no gays, no gays, lesbians, no homosexuals can serve. It's like, okay, we'll take these other classes, but one of you's got to go. Now that we've fully integrated, and I think we have balanced and equalized the treatment of women in the military, with the exception of combat, which I'm sure you're ready to go do, Patty.
Oh, yeah, I'm chomping at the ear.
and the acceptance of people of color, I think the military finally did that. Now we're saying, okay, well, in 1993, y'all can serve, just keep your mouth shut. We don't want to know you're here. Now it's, okay, everybody can serve, and we're going to take everyone in, and we're going to be part of the family, but...
But the thing is, the intent of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, at least on the side of people who had better intentions, never worked out that way.
No.
I mean, let's be clear about it. It wasn't, the intention was, okay, you can serve, but just keep your mouth shut. That's not what happened. The don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue part of it, the don't pursue never happened. That part of it got dropped from the law immediately.
Well, don't harass, don't pursue was part of the original piece. Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever was thrown out. It was as illegal, even if it's just don't ask, don't tell, nobody was ever thrown out for the asking part. It said clearly, don't ask. Well, you asked. You're gone. That should have happened too.
That's absolutely true.
That should have happened.
So there
for
is
every
though,
ask, there should for every tell, there should have been somebody thrown out for an ask.
Well, that's interesting too, because there are. You were talking about this before I got up the elevator, but there are an awful lot of people who were thrown out of the military who had not violated the policy.
Mm-hmm.
They never talked. They never told. They never got asked. But some third party out there was able to...
They were turned in.
Basically, yes. You know.
And those third parties were everyone. Mothers and fathers turned their children in. Spouse that or partner that had an argument last night turned people in. It came from everywhere.
And in the case that I was talking about, somebody who asked somebody else out on a date, he turned him down, so he turned him in.
That happened a lot with lesbians in the military for a long, long time. You won't go out with me. You must be lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to investigate.
Mm-hmm. It's just haunting. I mean, it's 2011.
Over.
I know,
but it's over.
But it's over. It's over. You know, one of the things I thought was so great was seeing that video yesterday, and I know it was a campaign video for the president, but seeing the story. I don't know if you saw that video with Captain Jondera and talking about 9/11, how her partner would have been the last one to find out. Yes. No one would have notified her. If she had been 7 minutes earlier in the Pentagon, she would have been killed. You know, that to me, that's the big part of this, is that, you know, you're just a nobody, and you would just, you know, be treated, oh, look at this poor person, you know.
Well, I'm not going to go into the full prayer this morning. There's a don't ask, don't tell prayer, implementation prayer, that was written by one of our military chaplains. And in it, she talked about, imagine this. Imagine it's the new day. And she, speaking of service members, she is worried about the results of her partner's tests are coming back today, and they'll learn whether or not she has cancer. He is wishing he could be home with his partner, dressing their son for his first day at school. And they realize that today, the two of them can talk about that. It's a great day.
You know, and it is, because, you know, it's like to be able just to say, gosh, I'm waiting for this phone call from my partner, and it can go either way, and, you know, and to have somebody say, hey, you know, I'm right here with you.
So God bless all those who served under 18 years of silence.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, the voice of the people. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON thanks Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERImaging.com.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON, P.O. Box 710-909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at KNON.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. KNON, Box 710-909, Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure to put the name of the show you're supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON's pledge drive, call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Okay, and no real entertainment report today. It's just I do want to gloat. I want to tell Laurent and Arnold especially, who were our guests last week, we were talking about the Emmys, who said, oh, no way Friday Night Lights will win. Well, not only did Friday Night Lights win Best Actor, Kyle Chandler, won Best Script for a script, or Best Writing for a script in an episode I was in. So Arnold,
wow.
And yep.
Stand back. There's no stopping him now.
No stopping. Do you know what's funny about that, though? And this really is, anybody who's ever done Friday Night Lights knows this. For it to win Best Writing, okay, Best Plotting, Best Story, but not Best Writing, because there is not a single word that was ever uttered on that show that I ever saw filmed where they actually followed the script. I mean, Kyle, who's wonderful, he's really a nice person, Kyle would start and follow the script the first take, and then he would say, let me try it this way. And as long as you ended your scene back where you were supposed to be, it was okay.
Well, cool. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I take it personally.
I can see that. I can see that.
No, actually, it is exciting to... it actually is exciting to...
And on another entertainment note this week, Chaz Bono danced in Dancing with the Stars, mm-hmm. and I thought did fabulously.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did really wonderfully. And, you know, for those, we were talking about this last week, who were boycotting the show because they didn't want to see this transgender person on the air. Wow, Cher called in to Ellen DeGeneres' show with a show of support and said, get over it, you know, let's move on. And I'm pulling for him. Mm-hmm. I never watched the show, but, you know, what's really tough is you're pulling for Chaz Bono and that and Nancy Grace is dancing too. So, you know, yeah. But go Chaz.
Yeah, and good for Chaz. First former Lambda Weekly guest to ever be on Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we've never had Nancy Grace on the show.
Well, they haven't called me yet. So.
I think you would do great, Dave.
Tap dancing. They do tap dancing.
And you might be the second. We are talking to Dave Guy Gaynor. Dave is the is a board member of the Service Members Legal Defense Network, a group that had been dedicated to getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, still there to work on transgender rights, to work on some of the 40 benefits that that heterosexual married people get, that gay people and lesbians who are serving will not get. One thing about people who have been thrown out of the military under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, can any of them go back in now?
Oh, absolutely. And they're going back in.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
They say,
hey, I'm taking advantage of this opportunity because I wanted to be in there in the first place.
Well, let me give you an update on a Dallas personality, Pepe Johnson. I was honored to be able to write a letter of recommendation for Pepe. And in the letter, I said, Pepe, the only thing I could write about is, you know, things that I've known you have done as a gay activist. He says, write them. He says, because you've always told me that you were proud of me as a soldier. And you know, thinking back, he never, ever, to my knowledge, spoke badly of the Army.
I can't think of a time either.
So in the letter of recommendation, the pittance that it was, I talked about how I first met Pepe when he was a member of DGLA, the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Association. And then he went on to be a leader in LULAC and the LULAC resolution. And I recognized as a board member at SLDN that we were missing out on talent like that with our military advisory council that was enlisted E-9's chiefs and Officer 06 and above. So we had a lot of rank, but we didn't have Pepes there. And we changed the rules for the military advisory council, and we warmly accepted Pepe, and he immediately became a leader on that organization and in the chaplains forum, and everything he touched, he was a leader. But looking back, I can never, ever remember him speaking badly about the Army. Pepe's meeting with another meeting with a recruiter today. His track going back is go back as enlisted in the Army Reserve. The reason I was chuckling is because he's been out so long and because of his age, he has to go back to boot camp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Can you imagine Pepe Johnson at boot camp?
For people who don't, how old is he?
Pardon me?
For people who don't know him, how old is he?
492. I don't know.
He's a young man, but he's been out. He's been out of the service a while.
Yeah,
so in 30s.
Yeah,
maybe
in his 30s. After boot camp, and I'm sure he'll finish it. And the drill instructor will be a lot smarter when he does. After that, he goes to officer candidate school. Then he goes to military police school, and he'll be a commissioned second lieutenant, military police officer in the U.S. Army, something that he dearly loves.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is.
Congrats,
how many
Pepe.
Years had he served?
I think Pepe was in about 7 or 8 years when he was discharged. Mm-hmm. Soldier of the Year at Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
And speaking of Oklahoma, there was an article in today's New York Times about a gay center, gay and lesbian center in Tulsa, I believe it was, and the executive director there called and invited all the branches to bring recruiters yesterday to the center, and only one responded, and it was the Marines. And so
we're gay, get over it. You saw that article. Let me give you real quickly a couple other young men that I know. Michael Moore, who's here in Dallas, Airman Moore, the 8'12" kid that carried the flag with us last year. Michael wants to go back in, but he wants to finish his degree first.
So that he can go back in as an officer.
Correct. So far, if there is a benefit of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it was these kids were discharged, went back to college, and now they'll lead the military that threw them out. The third one is Tommy Cook. Tommy is from Houston. You'll remember he was the named plaintiff in our Cook v. Rumsfeld case that became Cook versus Gates. Tommy has completed his first degree in nursing. He works as a prison nurse now.
Oh, wow.
For the state through UT. And is finishing his degree in, I believe, surgical nursery. And will not go back to the Army. He's chosen to go to the Air Force as a nurse. And I'm in line to get his silver dollar when he's commissioned.
Wow.
So, yeah, the kid, I call them kids. The kids are going back, and they're being welcomed.
It's only because Dave is old.
Pardon
He's
me.
Not old, David.
Oh.
You're old.
Oh.
I'm younger.
We're just talking
exactly.
amongst
That's
ourselves.
That's my point, Dave.
Don't get me started.
Well, I do think it's great that folks are going back. And I know one of the videos I watched yesterday was about some service members who had been stellar in their service before being summarily discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, who are eager to go back. Mm-hmm. They say, I want to serve my country. I want to be there. This was my choice in life, my vocation. I was called to serve my country, and I'm going back. And that's just exciting. And, in fact, there was a press conference yesterday with members of Congress who had spearheaded the act through, and some service members spoke there, and that was incredibly emotional. I know there was a woman in the Marines who got very choked up saying, I'm an American, I'm a woman, I'm a lesbian, I'm a Marine. Mm-hmm. And that was just very, very moving, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. Really exciting.
It is. And I don't know. Those were three names that I mentioned out of the 14,000 plus that were discharged. I wonder what the final tally will be with the ones going back. Can you imagine? I was fired because of who I am, and I want to go back to that.
Well, and certainly 14,000 are not going back because a number were discharged in 1993.
And since, just, every year since.
Well, and every year since, but a number were fired then or removed from the military then. They're just not going back. In 20 years, they've developed a life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a career, and they have a
maybe
home.
Maybe gain some weight, you know.
Stop looking at Dave.
I'm not looking at Dave.
Stop looking at him. This is radio.
Well, David.
He's allowed to look like that.
David did make me promise last night that I wouldn't try to go back in.
but I would think that just because of age and circumstance, that discounts half of the people who were discharged. It wasn't like Don't Ask, Don't Tell discharges were accelerating over the last couple of years. And the ones most likely to go back in are the ones who were discharged over the last couple of years. Will any people like Dan Choi, who has said that he would like to go back in because he said that for him it would be a vindication of what he was working for, and that was his word, calling it a vindication, do you think certain people who were very high profile, the military will say, not so much?
Oh, they could. Is that within the realm of possibility? Yeah. But Tommy has already told the recruiter, yes, I am that Tommy Cook. So that's a decision that's going to be made by the HR department of the military, the recruiters.
And the reason that I'm saying that is because in the military, you're not really looking for stars. You're looking for a unit, for a team, for people who work together so well that there's real cohesion. If somebody, you know, it was kind of like in the 1950s when Elvis was drafted, it was almost stunt drafting, rather than really having him just because he was just the average Joe going into the military.
That was marketing. They call that marketing.
It was marketing.
We really don't want a draft, so let's see how many Elvis will bring to us. Right. And we all can't sing and play guitars. Somebody's got to do the job.
And but now the difference is it's not like they're particularly looking for gay people to join the military. There's no affirmative.
They'll have to look. They're lined up.
There are plenty. I understand that.
Hey, a Marine recruiter went to a gay and lesbian center in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday. I think that's pretty cool. But speaking of the Marines, I watched a bit of Rachel Maddow last night where the man who had gone by J.D. Smith, who created OutServe and got that going, sort of an underground, now, I guess, an employee resource group, Instagroup, as he pointed out, for example, in the U.K., the Marines in the U.K. still don't have anyone who's out, even though they've had a policy for many years that allows open service. We see that commonly. I mean, we often see that in sectors of in the public entities, you know, where they've got a non-discrimination policy, but nobody's out, so what does that mean? You see it in companies. Do you think that Marines, I mean, they gave the most resistance to the Repeal Act through lots of voices in the Marines. Do you think they're going to be the toughest nut to crack in terms of getting folks who are Marines actively serving who are going to be out on the job?
I'm old and I don't know a lot of Marines, but let's peel off some names here. Jason Elsey from 1992, Marine out. Eric Alba, Tom Carpenter, Brian Fricke. Need I go on? We have out Marines. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they're more, they're a little more difficult to bring out because of the macho training, and the once a Marine, always a Marine. You know, the Air Force made golf courses. I don't think Marines have those. there's a sense of machoism that goes on. And remember my talking to you before on this show about, I'll go in the Air Force, that'll fix me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a reluctance to come out. But wow, when they come out, they're out.
But isn't it also a matter of a lot of people who are fighting Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they weren't fighting necessarily for the right to be out. They were fighting for the right to serve. They were fighting for the right to be part of the military. And the being out part, I'll come out to my friend over here. I'll come out to some people around me. But my goal isn't to be out. My goal is to serve.
Honestly serve.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's where the clash comes, because it's not this this ideal that you put on your shoulder and just walk around and live your life. It's a 24/7. If I breathe a hint, I'm gonna lose this opportunity to serve.
No,
that's huge. So it's, to me, they're hand in hand.
Well, agreed. But most people who were surveyed, the troops, not the officers, but the troops, what was it, 80% said, of course I'm serving with some gay people. And that was without good or bad. They were just saying, of course I know I'm serving with some gay people. So they were out. It's just they weren't out. You know, they weren't out like Dave is out, campaigning and on the boards and everything else, and safely doing it, having retired from the military back in 1832. But,
That was a ding. He's dissing you, Dave.
I'm just saying he left the military before Don't Ask, Don't Tell went under. Just before, actually, is when
that
he
was
retired.
Marine texting me.
Awesome. Go Marines.
Outserve. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. God bless them, organization. Mm-hmm. They've marched for the last few years along with us silently, as J.D. did. They served the cause by communicating through us to the Consolidated Working Group what the active duty force was thinking. You know, one of the questions that was asked when the working group was formed is, how are you going to ask of Admiral Mullen, how are you going to survey the affected class?
It's a vicious circle.
Yeah, and the DOD thought for a while, and it was going to suspend Don't Ask, Don't Tell so that people could speak out, speak up. Then they decide, well, what do we do with them after they identify themselves for the purpose of the study? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we put them back and not know? So JD and the OutServe organization filled that void. And a lot of the things that you heard me say, and SLDN say, and others say over the last couple of years, were words that they gave us that we couldn't attribute to them. I was very proud to see OutServe light up its website yesterday with 101 faces.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Very moving.
Those are the kids that I've been talking about for a while. Mm-hmm. And God bless them. And the OutServe is the going forward organization for implementation of this.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a break in just a second, but it was interesting, the 101, there are lots and lots of others who are out there. There was one that we had talked to at Dallas Voice last year who chose not to be in that 101, we're assuming, because his partner has been less out about it. And for family reasons, for all kinds of other reasons that people choose not to be out, chose not to be part of that. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
If you don't want your old SUV or other gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can take it off your hands. Call us today at 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org. Our representative will take all of your information and arrange a convenient time to pick up your vehicle. All it takes is a call to 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll create great programming from your old car, truck, or boat. 877-KNON-AUTO.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. And our guest today is Dave Guy Gaynor, who is with the Service Members Legal Defense Network. We're just talking about the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Where do we go from here? What are they doing? How are they implementing? What are they implementing? Admiral Steinman, tell us about him.
Al Steinman, my good friend, Admiral Al Steinman, was one of the three flag officers that came out years ago. He, Virgil Richard, and General Keith Kerr. Al announced yesterday that this Harry the Rabbit partner that we thought he had, he would say, my partner and I bought, but I've never met his partner. Mm-hmm. All these years we worked together. Al announced yesterday that my husband, Dallas, and I are coming out at an event at, I believe, McCord Air Force Base in Washington. His partner of all these years has been on active duty. And an activist, a studied activist himself, Al, could not speak of his active duty partner all this time.
So, to protect his active duty partner.
Correct.
Wow. Hmm. That's just amazing. I think maybe, I don't know, maybe you could share with us, if you know, how many folks did come out yesterday, because I know there was quite a viral video going around yesterday of the young man in Germany.
Oh,
who
yeah.
called his dad in Alabama mm-hmm. in order to come out, and it went very well, and kudos to that dad, you know, for...
Yeah, the father's biggest concern was, don't drink too much.
That's right.
At Oktoberfest, yeah. But, I mean, he obviously, you know, he wrung his hands, but one of the things he says in the phone call is that everyone here knows, and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. So his coworkers in the Army knew, obviously. So did other people really take this opportunity to make yesterday the day? Admiral Steinman?
I'm sure they did. It was probably a roll call yesterday morning. there's no number, and I don't know how we could capture that. But I'm certain that there were folks that came out. People are still scared to come out. Mm-hmm. People that came out saying, I'm straight, I'm not. My dream was that there were two people yesterday in the military, and one said, I'm gay, are you? And the other said, yes, and I was hoping you were.
That would be great.
Let's go back to OutServe really, really quickly.
Yeah.
I can't praise them enough. You know, next month they're having their first convention in Las Vegas on the weekend of October 14th. And one thing that we're doing is sending members of our chaplains forum to that convention. In fact, Reverend Joe Hudson is one, and Dr. Steve Sprinkle, who I think you've had here, mm-hmm. Is going. And the troops are going to hear a message of accepting open, warm religion. So we're sending people of faith there, and we'll continue to do that with them. To include our rabbi, we'll be there. I mean, we're an equal opportunity faith group. Mm-hmm. But they need to hear that message of hope and faith and inclusion that they haven't heard for so long.
Now, the biggest anti group to repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell were the chaplains in the military. And what I heard from, I'm saying the most, I'm not saying there was a lot of opposition to it, because among most of the troops, it was, you know, like 80% said, yeah, I know I'm serving with some openly gay people.
Most of the opposition was from outside the military, was my perception.
But I'm talking about the biggest opposition from within the military, mm-hmm. and maybe it was just the most vocal. And one of the things that I heard from several people was, yeah, the chaplain corps is run by or predominantly or has been taken over by right-wing religion. Is that being addressed in some way? Because most young people who are serving in the military, I'm not saying all, or I'm just saying most, are not necessarily from right-wing religions. They're not from religions who are saying, who would relate to that at all. And when you're in the chaplain corps, you have to be able to serve Muslim soldiers, Jewish soldiers, Catholic soldiers, Protestant soldiers from all denominations. You have to be, that is the job. The job isn't to proselytize your particular religion at all.
Unfortunately, the chaplain's corps faced the challenge of being overtaken by evangelical chaplains who felt they were there to convert, mm-hmm. not to support. The chaplain's corps was developed to be and is required to be pluralistic, as you mentioned. And yes, we are taking some action. I'll invite a certain Dallas Voice reporter to the event that we'll have on the weekend of September 21st, 20th, 21st, at the Interfaith Peace Chapel, where chaplains from our group from around the nation will be meeting to develop a plan for going forward. We've invited leaders of seminaries from around the nation to meet with us to develop stronger military chaplains programs. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at MCC, UCC, UU, the UU Church, you only have a few dozen chaplains from those. How do we bring those in? How do we bring the Reformed Jews in? What's our strategy going forward? How do we recapture this and tend to our troops in a pluralistic way? Mm-hmm. Let's get it back on track. So that event will be here in Dallas at the best place I could that anyone could imagine, at the Interfaith Peace Chapel.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And that's exciting, because that's such a pervasive mm-hmm. Need, obviously. There mm-hmm. wouldn't be a chaplaincy in the military if it weren't a need. But to be able to know that our GLB service members who are out would have access to that kind of support, which is so needed, I think.
Yeah. If Liberty University can crank them out at the rate that they're cranking them out and put them in the military, we need to offset that in some mm-hmm. fashion.
And be able to serve the same people that Liberty University wants to serve too. I mean, you know, it's one of those things when you're a chaplain in the military, the number of people who are your own religion that you're going to be working with is always going to be a small percentage of the total people that you'll be working with. I mean, it just has to be just based on the number of religions that are out there.
One of the things I haven't heard in the last few days is anyone who says, I'm absolutely going to leave the military upon repeal. Have you heard any you know, groundswell of massive troops wanting to leave?
Yes, we had to close down the war in Afghanistan because so many troops left. I'm kidding.
80% had already said, yeah, I'm serving with some gay people, so what? I mean, that really is what...
I'm sure that there are some... There are some folks who will leave or who stomped out the door yesterday. There were, during my tenure, when we got focused on people of color and women and those, the integration of them seriously in the 70s, there were people that stomped out the door. I'll never work for a woman. I wonder where they went.
Exactly. Where did they go?
Well, hopefully into their own businesses where they work for themselves. But isn't that somebody...
Yeah, Bubba's shrimp boat.
Right.
But isn't that somebody who doesn't belong in the military? They just don't fit into that culture of just everybody blending together. That's what this country is. Just everybody works together. And if you don't, well, you have to create your own opportunity somewhere. And you can do that. You're welcome to do that. But the military, which is a blend of everybody, isn't the place for you.
Correct.
Yesterday, you made a donation to Resource Center Dallas. Your husband calls it the garage sale, where cleaning out the house. Nice to get rid of all that junk. So you have an extra room in your house now. What are some of the things that you donated to the center? I know it was all kinds of papers and pictures.
Yeah,
and
it was. It was a lot of stuff. Probably to the average person, it didn't have a lot of value. A book that I carried around the nation and had other people sign, particularly if the name was in the book.
The book was called Ask and Tell? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a compilation of different essays, but written by a number of different people. Dave, you know, he's being a little bit modest about it. He collected the signature of just about everybody who had written an essay in this book.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. What a great legacy to leave that in the Phil Johnson archives. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
There were a lot of just studies and papers and writings and photographs and. I think it was 153 documents that I gave him on a memory stick and some paper. Two photographs that I had made of President Truman with his infamous newspaper. One says U.S. military integrated. The other one says don't ask, don't tell, overturned. it was a lot of stuff. I still have more stuff to go through, but it was just kind of, in my words, stuff. And one of the reasons I did it was Reverend Dr. Stephen Sprinkle, in a sermon one day, said that if our community wants to be part of the greater society, we must be able to start telling our stories. So it was a way to give someone who may be researching Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the future a pathway to find original documents that they can see and tell the story from a factual perspective.
What a great gift. That's wonderful, Dave.
One of the more interesting pieces was just an email that you had printed off. Tell us about that. Do you know which one I mean?
The invitation?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I gave them the original printout. I didn't reprint it. This was the original one. The email that I received from the White House one evening at 9:02 p.m. on a Monday, inviting me to be at the signing ceremony on Wednesday. Thank God I read that email that evening and made it to that ceremony.
Okay.
Wow.
I was invited to the bullying conference at the White House. but when they're inviting the press, they invite the guests like you on Monday for Wednesday. They invite the press on Tuesday, but you have to respond by noon. If you're not East Coast, you have like 1 hour to arrange a flight, to arrange a hotel, to arrange whether or not you can even get off that day to get there. So
and
I didn't get to the bullying
conference. This is like non-transferable.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I'll call you next time I get one of those.
Okay? Yeah, great.
Give you a headset.
Good, thank you. I didn't get the invitation to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell signing, though. But
you sent a photographer.
Yes, we did. We certainly did. We're almost out of time. As we're going forward, people were celebrating yesterday. Probably there'll be more celebrations this weekend. Next week, what do we expect? People to just get back to work and not be thinking about it and just getting
absolutely.
With their lives.
You know, I was very proud in Austin. I mentioned yesterday about marching around Texas and being part of the Color Guard. And I went to Austin for their Pride Festival weekend before last. And we did march. They told us they had a Korean World War II vintage Jeep for us to ride in.
Oh, my.
And when I got there, there were 25 active duty service members, some in combat makeup, so you didn't know who they were. But there were 25 active duty service members there to carry the flags that we carried for years. And there was a limousine for Bob Weeks and I to ride in. The best parade of my life. I've never ridden in one of those parades. It was kind of cool. I practiced my wave and everything. But to see those kids show up from Fort Hood, from Fort Sam Houston, from all over Texas to march in that parade, that told me that we'd won.
Mm-hmm. That's
what you'll see. You'll see them integrated with our community, integrated in the military, and probably in a month or so people say, what was Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll look back upon this moment, and we're here now, but for generations they'll look back and go, what were they thinking? How could they have that policy in place for so long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they won't be able to fathom it. Just like with today, we don't look at, you know, women and people of color, and they're like, how could they be excluded?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
And people actually thought about it, and it was a concern to them. Dave, thank you for being with us.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, you'll be back when, there are 40 benefits, you said, when you get 10 of them.
I'll be back when, I'll be back to tell you what it was like for David and I to get married in a military chapel.
Awesome. That's perfect.
That will certainly wait for it. And this is the part of our show where our producer, Thomas Pearson, comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence. We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly for Patty Fink.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Delight to have you always.
Listening to the KNON Morning Line, we'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.